discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
Over the past 3 years, songs like Eye of the Storm, The Gospel, and No Matter What have brought powerful encouragement to listening friends everywhere. The earnest and ear-catching voice behind those songs is the product of a journey from small town Bonanza, Oregon, to the live acoustic scene of Eugene, Oregon, then to a period of uncertainty that the dream of music was the right dream. From serving his community as a paramedic to a songwriting session that changed his life, and finally to the top of the radio charts, making music that's changing lives. Mr. Ryan Stevenson joins us on the road today. Welcome to the show, good sir. It's a real pleasure to have you here today.
Man, thank you so much. The pleasure and the honor is totally all mine. Thank you guys for all you do.
Oh, bless you, my friend. I mean, your songs have really proven, the phrase is ear-catching. I mean, they make you stop and listen. There's a vulnerability both to your lyrics and to your style as well. The soundscapes that you craft, they're fresh, they're new. How do you manage to pull that off? Where does that sound come from?
Man, that's such a great question. And I wish I had just the most amazing answer for that. All I can say is that I've always just had this kind of weird sense about music and this weird sound that has always been brewing inside of me ever since I was a kiddo. And I just kind of know what I hear in my heart and in my head. And I've been influenced by a lot of amazing people over the years growing up in, you know, 90s music. But I feel like what I do now sonically is just kind of an expression of the sounds that I hear the Lord whispering into my heart throughout the day. I mean, I know that sounds kind of funny, but it's just,
no. It's
just something and a vibe and a sensation that I get. And I really try to just capture that in a mood, in a sound, in an emotion, and put it onto a recording.
Okay, that's absolutely incredible. I've never heard it described that way before. But it's that active. It's like a constant communication that you're receiving, that you're making with God.
It is, man. It's just such a living, breathing thing for me. Music is so special and it's so alive. You know, I mean, we were all human beings. We were all created by sound. We were spoken into existence. We were created by the sound of his voice. And so I feel like we all have a sound inside of us. And I'm just trying to get that sound out and put lyrics to the sound that's inside of me.
That is a dynamite response. You said it wasn't going to be that good. You just lied.
Man, that came out a lot better than I thought.
Well, let's dive in here to this one-of-a-kind story. Tell me of Bonanza, Oregon, where you grew up. This is not the hometown of Pa Haas and Little Joe Cartwright, it turns out.
You know, it should be, because it's pretty darn similar. And I get that a lot. People typically, if I say I'm from Bonanza, Oregon, everybody goes, which that's pretty much how I grew up. Bonanza, Oregon is a gorgeous little farming community nestled in kind of the valley of South Central Oregon, 10 miles from north of the California border. So I grew up in South Central Oregon. Bonanza is a town. When I was growing up, it was a town of about 250 people. And it's just very rural, all cattle farmers, dairy farmers, ranchers. Mm. And I grew up out in the country. I mean, I'm through and through a country boy at heart, and grew up in a small little community church, grew up on the hymns and learning the Bible. And like the nuts and bolts of my existence was small town, country town, dairy farm, church.
I love it so much. Did you grow up on a farm itself then, or were you in the metro area of Bonanza, as it were?
Yeah, well, I was in the metro area. I was right in the middle of town. And there was only about 200 of us. So, but I grew up I grew up in a 940 square foot single wide mobile home trailer. It's my mom and dad and my older sister. And my dad was a regular, like, kind of farmhand. My mom was a stay at home mom, and we didn't have a lot, you know, if I could say it delicately. We were kind of poor, but my best friend that I met in kindergarten, his parents and their family owned a huge Holstein dairy farm. And so when I met him in kindergarten, we became best friends, and I literally grew up from the time I was in kindergarten all the way till I went to college, almost living at the dairy and working at the dairy. And just,
wow.
They just kind of absorbed me into their family because my parents and their parent, his parents knew that it was just such a great place for me to get rooted and established and, working and responsibility and community. And, they're all, you know, Dutch people. They're a Dutch family. And so I kind of got absorbed right into a Dutch subculture where I grew up around Dutch folks and learning Dutch custom. And it was just such an amazing upbringing and early years of just being rooted in hard work. And it's just, I'm so thankful for it.
That's beautiful. You mentioned in passing there the faith background. By the way, if you're tuning in, listening to this gentleman, Ryan Stevenson is the name. You're probably familiar with that voice. It's the one behind songs like The Gospel, The Eye of the Storm, and this year's hit, No Matter What. You mentioned in passing there the faith background. Was that something that you were in church growing up? Did you buy in from a very early age? Was it more of a process for you?
No, I was born right into the church. My parents are both strong believers. They met in church when they were in, you know, junior high on the Oregon coast. And then I was born into the church, raised in the church. I know I gave my heart to Jesus. I prayed with my mom one day when I was 7 years old. And I specifically remember how I had just, even at that age, I had a longing. Like I had this desire, this longing to belong to Jesus and to know him and to know that I'm Jesus's son. And that I never really, you know, and so like when I gave my heart to the Lord as a young kid, I was, you know, I'm the sensitive one of the family. I'm kind of like my mom. Like we're both real emotional, sensitive creatures. And I just didn't really want that quintessential rebellious phase. Like I just didn't really want to wander away. I felt like I loved the Lord and I loved the church. And so I didn't really have this, insatiating desire to go wander away into the world and party it up or whatever, you know, whatever we do is when we're trying to explore life and figure out who we are. And I did some of those things, you know, later on, but, I feel like the Lord really got a hold of my heart as a young kid. And I've just always wanted to walk with him and just have that peace. It's the only place that I've ever found any peace in the midst of absolute uncertainty sometimes.
Oh, that's beautiful stuff. So when did the musical bug bite then? You talk about singing the hymns in the church pews on Sunday mornings. When did you first start to realize, oh my word, I love this?
Well, my mom, bless her heart, she decided to put me in a children's choir at our church when I was in first or second grade, and I just hated it. I mean, I thought it was demoralizing and humiliating, and then they made me sing a solo. And man, here I am, you know, standing in front of the church at the front of all the kids' choir trying to squeak out a little solo, and it just was not my thing at all. And but I was always really rhythmic, and I just had this in my DNA, like I had this rhythm thing to me. And I remember I would always go into the kitchen and drag out a bunch of mismatched pots and pans from my mom's kitchen and take them up into my bunk beds and kind of get a couple of wooden spoons and make a little drum set up there and tapping away. And when I was in the third grade, we got the option to start learning a musical instrument, and I immediately started playing drums. So from the third grade on, I was just a drummer, and that was really when I got bit by the music bug. So I just loved it, and I go, man, this is what I want to do. And when I was 18 years old, you know, and all I really wanted to do was be a drummer in a band someday. You know how lofty of a dream that can be.
Sure.
But when I was 18 years old, my youth pastor, as a graduation present from high school, drove up to my house one day, knocked on my door, and handed me a cheap old crusty acoustic guitar that he had gone out and bought. And he just said, man, I felt like the Lord told me to give this to you. Wow. And I just want to be obedient to that. And I, here you go. And in the moment, to be honest, you know, I was thankful, but I was almost subtly annoyed by it, because if there was anyone that knew my dreams of, you know, being a drummer, it was him. And I was just thinking, like, well, why, man, why would you come and bring me a guitar? Like, why wouldn't you bring me a drum set? You know, mm-hmm. that's what I'm doing. And, but so I just put that guitar on the shelf for months, and I didn't play it until I went to college my freshman year in Eugene, Oregon. And all the guys who lived in my dorm hallway, I would just watch them come in as we were all moving in, and every one of them had an acoustic guitar over their shoulder. And I just, my next door neighbor came over one night, and he's like, hey man, you got a guitar? And he introduced himself, and we just hit it off. And I didn't know how to play a single chord. So he got up, went over across, got his guitar, and came over and started showing me where to put my fingers. And that night I learned my first three chords on a guitar, and it was like I could just do it. It just clicked. It just made sense.
Wow.
I was just able to play. And it was like that little act of obedience from my youth leader giving me that little acoustic guitar, it single-handedly changed the trajectory of my life. And wow. That's all I wanted to do. And then I was able to, all this stuff, all this, you know, the word that was alive inside of me, and the life experiences that I've had, and like I love to write and I love poetry, and like all this stuff, I was able to take all these things that I was feeling and experiencing and write them into poems and put them to simple G, C, D guitar chords. And I just started writing songs, and I got infected by it, and I just have never stopped since.
This is a seriously awesome story, by the way. You're aware of that, yes?
Man, it's just the more I talk about it, the more I'm blown away of how amazingly, intricately the Lord crafts our story with just brilliant detail.
The voice right there behind songs like The Gospel, The Eye of the Storm, this year's hit, No Matter What, Mr. Ryan Stevenson, joining us today on the road. One of the gentlemen that you talk about there in your hall at college, I believe, is Mr. Paul Wright. Is that correct, first of all?
That is Mr. Paul Wright. That is right.
So this is the gentleman behind that incredibly, impossibly catchy song, West Coast Kid, with Toby Mac, correct?
Yeah, that's him.
So you start performing and crafting songs together, right, with a band. What was that time like, and sort of how was your sound being shaped as you performed there across Eugene?
Man, so amazing. I mean, I think about it all the time of how special those early days were when Paul and I would sit in my dorm room for hours and hours and hours. And like, and just, you know, Paul was a rapper, like he's like a hip hop guy, and I was a singer. And so we took his rapping and my singing and harmonies, and we just blended them together. And it just like acoustic Northwest pop harmonious thing. And it was so fresh and it was so catchy. And Paul and I just became best friends right away. And we were just, we started to play all over, you know, regionally, all over Oregon. And I remember the first concert we played together. I didn't even know we were doing it, but Paul came home one afternoon and he's like, hey, I signed us up for open mic night tonight, downtown at Cafe Paradiso at 7 o'clock. And so we went down there, and a bunch of kids from our college found out that we were going to open mic night. And so literally our entire, like hundreds of kids from our school showed up to this tiny little coffee shop and just packed the place out to watch us play two songs.
Wow.
And it was just like those memories and those early days of we started as two kids in a dorm room playing and then, you know, going to major festivals and major venues.
So obviously this period of just a success, and it just seems the motion is carrying you forward to this career in music. But there is this period, right, between this time and then where you are today, where there's this breakthrough that just doesn't seem to be able to happen, right? You're in a situation and you almost decide that it's time to give the dream up, right? What was it that God communicated to you, the perseverance that made you not quit?
So Paul and I played in a band together for 5 years, all through college, and then a year after college. And we were kind of trying to figure out life. I was getting ready to get married. Our bass player was, you know, kind of had some dreams that he wanted to fulfill with his degree. And so Paul was offered a record deal at Goatee Records, and, you know, felt like that was the direction that he needed to go. So he became Paul Wright and went off and did a solo deal. And the rest of us just kind of went and did our own thing. And it was really tough, because I just didn't have a lot of direction. And so from that point, you know, we were 20, 22 years old when that all happened. And for the next 8 years, I worked as a paramedic, and I just thought, well, my dreams, if we ever had a shot to be on a record company, that was it. And it's just over. And, you know, I don't even know what to do. There's no way I could ever be Ryan Stevenson, you know, as a solo guy. Like, I'm not a performer.
Sure.
But I'm telling you, there was just this always, I had somewhere down in there, this quiet little nudge, this quiet little voice that always just knew somehow, like, my story is not over and that the Lord is going to prepare a way for me to fulfill my heart's desire. Wow. And I didn't really know what that looked like. Well, you know, after 8 years of being a paramedic, just kind of, you know, living life, being a paramedic, playing little coffee shops regionally around the Pacific Northwest. You know, I did that for a long time. And then, you know, a bunch of crazy catastrophic events boiled down, and which ultimately ended up popping me through and being a major, another trajectory shifting breakthrough that sent me off into Christian music. And it came at a time where I thought, well, nothing's ever going to happen.
One of the central sort of hinges of that time that really reshapes your existence there is this meeting, right? This meeting with a celebrated producer and songwriter, Jamie Moore, and eventually down the road connects you with Toby Mac and Goatee Records. But I understand before this meeting happens, you both nearly canceled it, right?
Yeah, we did. I actually did cancel. I canceled on Jamie, and Jamie canceled on me. I sat there in the living room. You know, I didn't feel good. I was getting a really bad head cold that day. I was driving my van and a trailer. I was in the middle of a tour. I had just been dropped from my first little record deal. Like, I was just in a really, like, my wife and I had just gone through a whole bunch of just crazy stuff, and we were just exhausted and really hopeless. And I got this thing that popped up one day on my Google Calendar that said co-write with Jamie Moore. And I knew, man, I'm going to have to drive a half hour to that. I haven't even done my laundry. I got to leave tomorrow morning. I mean, I just came up with a list of all these reasons why I couldn't do it. And I called the guy who set up that co-write, and I said, hey, I'm not going to this today. Can you cancel it? And he's like, yeah, I'll cancel it. No problem. And he was bummed. Mm-hmm. And as I sat there in the quietness of that little living room, I just had, again, that unexplainable, still small voice, that nudge in my spirit just came. And it wasn't an audible voice. It was just like unrest. And it was like, do not cancel this today. And so I called him right back and I said, hey, don't cancel. I'm going to go. I'll do it. And he's like, good, because I haven't called him yet. We'll come to find out. So as I'm on my way there, Jamie, his publisher was in the building, and they had just canceled. They were getting ready to call and cancel on me, but his publisher found out that I was on my way there right now, driving there. And so that day I walked in, expected nothing to happen at all. And Jamie's, you know, we go back into his little studio. I was like, hey, man, so what do you want to work on today? And I was like, well, I mean, I have this one idea that I've been working on. I have a title. I know what I want it to be about. I got some melodies and stuff. But it's just a song out of Proverbs 18 that talks about our words and how powerful the things that we say are when we speak our words out into the atmosphere, how it can change the environment around us, and our words bring life and death. And I want to call it Speak Life. Like, I love it. Let's work on it. And so we wrote Speak Life that day. Wow. In about an hour. And that building that I showed up to, Toby, that's his building. He owns that building, and his studio is in that building. And he had been coming in and out of that building working on his record called Eye on It. And so when I was gone, you know, and I still lived out in the Northwest, so when I left, Toby had come into the building, and Jamie started showing him all these songs that we were working on and showed him Speak Life. So that was the first thing he showed him, and Toby just loved it. Toby ended up writing the rest of it with us and finishing it out like a different version of it, and it became Speak Life. And that was really kind of when my world collided with Toby's.
What an incredible story. How full of encouragement that God is weaving our steps in every moment, even when it doesn't feel like it. Thank you so much, seriously, for taking the time to press rewind with us. And
of course, we
do have just a couple minutes left. So I think first, maybe for people who are fascinated by the story, who just love your music, where can they go to keep up with you, first of all?
My regular old website, RyanStevensonMusic.com. And then from there, you can find me on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, and it's all Ryan's Music. It's really simple, yeah.
Ryan is a beautiful name, by the way. I would just have to agree.
Yes, it is, Ryan.
In just the limited time we have left, the single No Matter What has been just making a difference to so many people across America this year as it continues to take over radio. Where did that song come from? Why was that a message that you wanted to really get across?
I always tell people I write these songs because primarily I need them. I need to be reminded and I need to hear them. And, you know, growing up, you know, just to backtrack, growing up in a smaller kind of conservative church, somewhere along the way, even though I knew like Jesus loves me, somewhere along the way, I felt like, well, because church is such a regular part of my family's dynamic, sometimes I feel like I haven't really had that encounter. Like I'm missing something. There's a void that's not filled yet because I really don't know if I've really tasted and seen that he is good. And, and somewhere along the way, I feel like I was subtly taught inadvertently that, you know, Jesus, he is love and he is good, but he's also moody. And performance-based relationship with God, where I really only feel like I'm only as good to him as my last ability to perform really well. And the Lord, I feel like in his perfect timing and in his grace and mercy and just how gentle he is, even in the midst of stuff that we get ourselves into, he always comes through with a gentle spirit and says, I'm convinced that nothing will ever be able to separate you from the love of God, not heights, nor depth, nor angels or demons, nor things present, nor things that come, nor powers. Nothing in all creation, no created thing will ever be able to separate you from the love of God. You are not separated from him no matter what. And I was like that. It just came alive in me. I just wanted to do my part into speaking out the truth that I feel like the Lord instilled in me is, it doesn't matter what you've done. It's never been about what you've done or what you think you might do. You're my son. You're my beloved. And honestly, just to elaborate on that really quick, it really changed my life when I had kids of my own. Like I have two boys now. I have two sons and they're little boys and they are my boys. They are my sons. Like I don't care what they do. I don't care how dirty they get. I don't care how much they fight with one another, how mean they get. Yeah, it's heartbreaking sometimes, and it's annoying, and it's disappointing, and we don't always do and say the right thing. But at the end of the day, those are my boys. That's my beloved sons. And even if they came and said, Dad, I don't want anything to do with you ever again. I'm walking away from you. I think you're a joke. I would still say, buddy, I love you, and I'm always going to be your daddy. And that is the way. There's nothing that can change that with all of us. He is our dad. He is always good, and he is always motivated by love, and we can rest in that.
Wow. Well, what a truth to end on. Ryan Stevenson, The Eye of the Storm, No Matter What, The Gospel, and A Gentleman with a Pretty Amazing Story. It has just been a treat to talk to you today, sir. Thank you so much for your time, and keep up the great
Absolutely.
Work.
Man, thank you guys, for sure.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.